Alrighty. Chag Sameach again. And Yahweh bless. The message I have today, I hope everybody's having a wonderful feast, is called The Sacrifice of Praise and Worship. The Sacrifice of Praise and Worship. And I'm going to start in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 27, because in the Tanakh, the daily sacrifice was actually changed. It was changed to a prayer sacrifice, and I want to read this. And it talks about 1 Chronicles 23, verse 27, "For the last words of King David, and the Levites were numbered from a son of 20 years and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of Yahweh, in the courts and in the chambers, and in the purifying of all the holy things, and the work of the service of the Elohim's house." Then drop down to verse 30. "Even to stand every morning to thank and praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening." So just like the daily sacrifice was in the morning and the evening, he's saying even to stand every morning to thank and praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening. So we see that, yes, the sacrificing of animals has stopped, but the sacrificing of praise and worship to Yahweh has not stopped, and we know that we're the priesthood today. So we need to realize that we need to be daily doing the daily sacrifice, morning and evening, of praise and worship to Yahweh. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, Then through him let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh always, that is the fruit of the lips, giving thanks to his name. So we know how important words are. You know, by our words we'll be justified, by our words we'll be condemned. We know that words can give life, or words can take life. And here it's saying, then through him let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh always, that is the fruit of the lips, giving praise to his name. So one thing is, when people have bad attitudes, you know, when they're, complaining, they're certainly, the root of it is they're not giving praise to Yahweh. You know, that's something, if we're doing that day and night, our attitude, it certainly should go in our attitude. Psalm 107. So, like I said, praise is like doing a sacrifice before Yahweh, but even better than that. Psalm 107, verse 19. Says, "And they cried to Yahweh in their distress, and he saved them from their straits. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their pitfalls. Let them thank Yahweh for his mercy and his wonders to the sons of man, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and recount his works with rejoicing." Recount his works with rejoicing. When are we recounting his works with rejoicing? When we're doing our testimonies. So every week when we're giving our testimonies, giving testimonies is a praise sacrifice. It's glorifying Yahweh. And even the intent of the animal sacrifice was not just to kill an animal, but was to have a better relationship with Yahweh. So the word, I've said this many times before in other sermons on sacrifices, the word in Hebrew is korban, and it doesn't mean to give up, because in English when you use the word sacrifice, oh, I'm sacrificing now, you know, paying all this money for my school, but later, you know, I'll make more money or get a better job, whatever. The word sacrifice tends to indicate you're surrendering something, you're giving something up. But in Hebrew, the word korban literally is to draw closer to through relationship. So, you know, you're raising an animal, you know, say, a little lamb, and you're caring for it. You're needing the animal for milk, for cheese, for clothing. Then to sacrifice it and surrender it to Yahweh is a form of worship to draw closer to him. You're trusting in him. What you were relying on for the animal, you're trusting in Yahweh, but also the feelings and the love that you build for that animal that you're sacrificing for Yahweh. So you're drawing closer to through relationship. Psalm 63. I'll read verse 1 through 8. Again, a psalm of King David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. "O Elohim, you are my El, I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you as in a dry and weary land without water. Therefore, I have seen you in the holy place, seeing your power and your glory. For your loving kindness is better than life. My lips give praise to you. So I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been a help to me, and I will rejoice under the shadow of your wings. My soul is cleaved after you. Your right hand upholds me. So we see David's praising Yahweh's name, and drawing closer to through relationship. Praise comes first from the heart. It's not just words. And I learned this years ago, you know, when I first became a believer, and, you know, I'd come to services early because I was, you know, worked as an usher or worked in doing this, whatever, helping out. And not to say you can't practice your songs. Of course, when you're doing special music, you need to practice. But what I saw was, you know, as they're practicing there for hours and making every tiny little thing, how they stood, where they stepped, and I'm looking at that and I'm watching it week after week and realizing there's nothing here that they're sharing with the people about praising Yahweh. It all has to do with external looks toward the audience, what the audience is going to look better toward the audience. So I said that many times when we're talking about spiritual gifts. The gift of praise and worship doesn't necessarily have to be someone with the best voice, right? Or someone who plays the instrument the best. That could be. A lot of times Yahweh does give that gift, physical gift, to somebody who has that. But that on it is alone. It's got to first come from your heart. Because if it doesn't come from your heart, it doesn't matter how good you could sing or how good you could play an instrument. It means absolutely nothing. I mean, people in the world can sing songs and play instruments, and they're not doing it to Yahweh, of course. They're doing it, you know, a lot of the songs and music is absolutely evil and demonic, and yet they have a great physical gift for it, but it's not coming from their heart. So praise comes first from the heart, not the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and from being thankful for everything that Yahweh has done in your life. And you can see it. You can see people who really have the gift of praise and worship when they are either playing a musical instrument or singing to Yahweh, and you see the heartfelt love that they have for Yahweh as they're doing that and playing that. Psalm 23 and verse 1, a psalm of David. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. So if Yahweh is really our shepherd, we will lack nothing. And our praise shows it. Our praise shows if this is the truth or not. So, is Yahweh really our shepherd? Because if we're sitting there all day complaining about this, complaining about our job, complaining about the food, complaining about whatever, complaining about the government, complaining about the New World Order, complaining about all the aches and pains you have, if you're just complaining all day long, then Yahweh is not your shepherd. Because if Yahweh is your shepherd, you will not lack. The sheep totally trust the shepherd is totally secure with the shepherd. So if Yahweh is really our shepherd, we will lack absolutely nothing. And it shows in our praise and worship. Psalm 116, verse 17 through 19. Says, I will sacrifice to you the sacrifice of thanks and will call on the name of Yahweh. You know, and this is something, like I said, it's not something you do once or you do during the feast. You do it every day of your life. I will sacrifice to you the sacrifice of thanks and will call on the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows to Yahweh now in the presence of all his people. Right? We read this psalm during Passover night. In the courts of the house of Yahweh, in your midst, O Jerusalem, hallelujah. Right? So are we doing that? Are we sacrificing to Yahweh the sacrifices of thanks and calling on his name? And, you know, it's amazing out there, people who will sing to the name of G-O-D, you know, and even when you show them that's not his name, they don't even care. They don't care what name they're singing to because they're doing it for themselves. And if we really want to give glory to the name of the Creator, then at least use his name. How can you give glory to another name and think you're giving glory to the Creator? Psalm 7 and verse 17 says, I will thank Yahweh according to his righteousness and will praise the name of Yahweh Most High. That's what's in your Bible. Not G-O-D, not L-O-R-D, but I will praise the name of Yahweh Most High. And if we're trying to give him a sacrifice of thanksgiving, then of course we would use his right name. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. And a wonderful chapter there on praise that King David again is giving to Yahweh. So I'm going to read here verse 8 through 15, then drop down to verse 23. He says, "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, share what Yahweh is doing," right? Share what he's doing in your life. That's what the testimony is. That's why the testimony is praise. It's not about what you did. It's not about your week. It's not about just sharing what happened to you. It's about giving praise for something Yahweh did in your life. "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, tell of all his marvelous works." And that's why I say our songs, not that every song has to be from the Psalms, but most of the songs we're singing should be from the Psalms, because those are the words that Yahweh inspired to give him praise. "Sing to him, sing psalms to him, tell of all his marvelous works, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those seeking Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his wonders that he has done, his signs and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahweh our Elohim, his judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word he gave to 1,000 generations, right? A generation, whether you count that as 40 years, or you count it as 70 years or 100 years, 1,000 of them is a lot longer than the time that we've been on this earth as human beings. Drop down to verse 23. "Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Proclaim the news from day to day of his salvation," his Yeshua. "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared among all the Elohim," right? He is the only true Elohim. Drop down to verse 28. "Give to Yahweh, O families of the people, give to Yahweh glory and strength. Give to Yahweh the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Yahweh in the adornment of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yea, the earth is established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among nations, Yahweh reigns. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it. Let the fields rejoice and all in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing out before Yahweh, and he has come to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And say, oh, save us, Elohim of our Yeshua, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen," and gave praise to Yahweh. Wow. True praise from King David, right? What wonderful, wonderful scripture that is. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. And we will read verse 1 through 8. Psalm 61. "To the chief musician on string instruments," again, of King David. What a blessing it is, huh? What a blessing that King David, one of the most important people in all the Bible, you know, of servants to Yahweh, right? Being a king with Yeshua forever. And not only one or two, but we have so many words of David and psalms of David and praise of David as an example for us. "Hear my cry, O Elohim, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart faints. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my shelter, a strong tower before the enemy. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O Elohim, have heard my vows. You appointed the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will add days to the days of the king. His years will be as generations to generations. He shall abide forever before Elohim. Appoint mercy and truth to preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, so that I may pay my vows day by day." Wow. How wonderful, you know, that David is saying this, and the trust that he has for Yahweh and the sacrifice of praise that he gives. Psalm 138. And we'll read 1 through 3. And then verse 8. Another psalm of King David. I will thank you with my whole heart. I will sing praise to you before the Elohim. I will worship toward your holy sanctuary and give thanks to your name for your mercy and for your truth. For you have magnified your words above all your name. You answered me in the day I called out. You made me bold in my soul and my strength. And do we thank Yahweh every day for his mercy and his truth? Verse 8, Yahweh will perfect his work in me. O Yahweh, your mercy endures forever. You will not forsake the works of your hands. Right? And by praising him and by saying that, it gives us faith to believe it. Right? Do we believe that? That Yahweh will perfect himself in us and that he will not forsake the works of his hands, his creation being us. Psalm 8 and verse 28, right? Because even through trials, it's easy when things are going good and you have blessings, right, to give your testimonies. But challenges, you know, trials are also a testimony. And like we know, Romans 8, 28, but we know that to the ones loving Elohim, all things work together for good, to those being called according to purpose. And, you know, sometimes the greatest sacrifice of praise and worship to Yahweh is through our challenges, because that is a sacrifice. You know, that's something, like I said, with the lamb, when you raise that lamb and then you're using that lamb for milk and for whatever, cheese and maybe clothing, and then you're sacrificing it and giving it up to Yahweh and trusting in him. It's the same way when we go through a trial. When you're going through a trial, whether, like I said, it's a financial trial or whether it's someone dying or whether it's sickness, you know, you're doing the same thing, that it's to worship him and to give him glory through that trial, knowing that it's only for your good and believing that, it's giving worship to Yahweh by doing that. Whereas praise is like giving a sacrifice, glorifying Yahweh. Complaining is blaspheming Yahweh, showing that you don't trust in him. So anytime we murmur and we complain, we saw the Israelites, right? Out of almost 2 million people, only two people, Caleb and Joshua, that were 20 and above, made it into the promised land. Only two, you know? And that is not, I don't like those numbers. I don't like those odds. So only two making it is not good. And it was because of murmuring and complaining was the main thing that that happened. Psalm 50 and verse 23. Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoever sacrifices thanks glorifies me. And he who determines his course of life, I will show him Yeshua Elohim. Wow, what a great psalm, huh? He who sacrifices thanks glorifies me. And he who determines his course of life, I will show him Yeshua Elohim. So that's where really your character grows, is through those challenges. And where you're glorifying Yahweh for that, because you trust that all things work for the good. And you know he's not punishing you. He's purifying you. And that's where it comes through. So that's where you go from praise to worship. You know, that's where you really go from praise to worship. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Psalm 111. And verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding to all those who are practicing them. His praise is standing forever. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Without the fear of Yahweh, it will never lead to anywhere. You'll never have relationship. You'll never get repentance. Your pride will just overtake your life. The fear of Yahweh, it's the first platform to the kingdom. You know, so the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom and everything. A good understanding of those who are practicing them, his praise is standing forever. Fear of Yahweh comes first, and it leads to respect, humility, which will lead to praise. So like I said, nothing personal. I know a lot of Christian people mean well, but you know, just going up there with a microphone and singing and yelling and screaming, that's not praise. That is not praise. First, you need the fear of Yahweh, Because fear leads to obedience and respect and humility, which leads to praise. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your humility, your meekness, be known to all men. Our master is at hand. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition, with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. Wow. So that's the key to it. That is the key to it. Through humility and meekness, that will lead. And not to worry about anything, because like I said, if Yahweh is our shepherd, then we will not want. Humility leads to praise, which leads to worship. And worship is what leads to peace of mind. When you get in that deep state of worship, it's like you're in a different place. It's like you're going up to the throne of Yahweh in your spirit. And that's what worship leads to. John 4. John chapter 4, verse 21. And this is with the Samaritan woman. And Yeshua said to her, "Woman, believe me that an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, or in Jerusalem," right? Because the Samaritans thought that they had a sanctuary there, Mount Gerizim, the Jews in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for life is of the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father also seeks such, the ones worshiping him. Elohim is spirit, and the ones worshiping him must worship in spirit and truth. So like I said, a lot of people, I'm not judging them because they don't know any better. Their minds haven't been open, but they're not worshiping. It's not worship, you know. It's not praise, it's not worship, because they're not doing it in spirit and truth. So to go from praise to worship, it can only be in spirit and truth. That's what Yeshua said. And I'll tell a quick story. Years ago, when we still lived in America in Babylon, and we were up at this place for a holy day, and there were Maranatha singers. Maranatha, they sell the music and whatnot. And these ladies, they were there. They really actually had some nice praise music that they were doing. And they were doing their praise music, practicing there. And then we came in and we did a whole worship service, and we invited them that they could watch. They had asked. So they watched our service, and the ladies were doing the Hebrew dancing, and they had the banners, and it was just beautiful. And we went from praise to worship. And after we were finished, I asked the Maranatha lady, I said, would you like to go up and with your group do a song? And she said to me, this woman said, "There is praise and there is worship. What you just did was worship, and it would not be fitting for us to go and do anything after that." And it really hit me. Wow, yes, she's right. She's right. So many are called, but few are chosen, and neither fewer are faithful. So like I said, praise leads into worship. We start with that praise. We start with glorifying his name. We start with singing. But then you want to get into that deeper place of worship. Psalm 26. Psalm 26. And verse 6 and 7. He says, "I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go around your altar, O Yahweh, to cause to hear with the voice of thanksgiving and recount all your wonderful works." And recount all your wonderful works. Like I said, our testimonies are worship in giving all the glory to Yahweh. So it's not only singing, it's not only playing an instrument. That could be. I'm not, you know, belittling that. But what I'm saying is also our testimonies are worship. When we give our testimonies, like he says here, to cause to hear with the voice of thanksgiving and recount all your wonderful works. When we are giving a testimony and glorifying Yahweh, what he's done in our life that week, you know, or that whatever, any time in your life, when you're giving a testimony, it is actually, could be worship. Psalm 96, 1 through 4. Psalm 96, 1 through 4, and then I'll drop down to verse 6. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Bear news of his salvation, his Yeshua, day by day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. For Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all Elohim. And all the gods of the people are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens, right? All the gods, right? They're all idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Drop down to verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give to Yahweh, O families of the people. Give to Yahweh glory and might. Give to Yahweh the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Right? That's why we don't show up before him empty. On the Hagim, on the holy days, we bring an offering before him. Right? Because that's the way you do it. That's the way you enter his courts. You don't come before the king with nothing in your hand. Oh, worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And like I said, it's not only money. Offering could be praise. Offering could be music. Offering could be special music. It could be a testimony. You know, so it's not only money, but we don't come before Yahweh empty. We bring something every week. Every week when we come to services, we bring something to share, something to give. Oh, worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. So like I said, testimony, sharing, giving praise to Yahweh, it's all part of worship. Matthew 4 in verse 8, and this is very interesting because this is when, we've read this many times, when Satan was trying to tempt Yeshua before his ministry was starting. But on this subject, it's very interesting if we look at it here. Matthew 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil takes him, Yeshua, to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, right? So he goes up on that high mountain showing, you know, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory to Yeshua. And then the devil says to him, I will give all these things to you. If falling down, you will worship me. Now, what's interesting is I always say, you know, when I'm going into this, it proves Satan is the God of this world. It proves he has the authority. This is his system. Commercial Babylon's the system of Satan, not Yahweh, right? But in this sermon, I want to hit it a little different on this. Because, of course, that's true. But what I want to show is, it's very interesting that here, Satan doesn't ask Yeshua for loyalty. He doesn't even ask for obedience. He asks for worship. That's what he asks for. He asks for worship. It shows you how important worship is, right? So Satan's not asking Yeshua for loyalty. He's not asking him for obedience. He's just asking him to worship him, and he'll give all that. Now, of course, we'll say, oh, yeah, no way. Yeshua would never be tempted with that. But remember, if Yeshua would have taken that offer, number one, he would have not had to go through the suffering and the beating and the humiliation, all the things he went through, right? But also, the kingdom of Yahweh, he would have been ruling 2,000 years ago. It wouldn't have delayed his rulership in the world for 2,000 years. So, of course, he didn't take the bait. But it wasn't just like throw it to the side. There was things to consider here. But again, he's not asking for loyalty. He's not asking for obedience. He's asking Yeshua for worship. And here's Yeshua's answer. Then Yeshua says to him, go, Satan, right? Get thee behind me. It has been written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Does it show you how important worship is and how we take it for granted? In our prayers, every time we're praying, we should be worshiping him. The way that when they ask Yeshua, how do we pray? What's the first thing he says? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very first thing we need to do before we even start telling Yahweh all our problems and all the things we need is worshiping him, giving praise to his name and glorifying his name. So it shows you how important worship is. Exodus 20. Let's go to Exodus 20. Because this is the very first commandment to only give Yahweh this kind of worship and glorifying. Exodus 20 says, and Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, right? Just like when we're taking out of our sins, out of the bondage of our sins when we're baptized and forgiven. You shall not have any other Elohim before my face, right? Only Yahweh. We don't have other Elohim in our life, and sometimes we do. Sometimes anything can be an idol. Our job can be an idol. Our car can be an idol. Money can be an idol. A person can be an idol. You know, a thing can be an idol. Our house can be an idol. Anything. Anything that you're putting before Yahweh can be an idol. And then he says, you shall not make a graven image of yourself or any likeness in the heavens above or in the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and you shall not serve them. For I am Yahweh Elohim, a jealous hell visiting the iniquity of fathers on sons, on the third and the fourth generation to those who hate me, right? Generational curses, they're real. And doing kindness to thousands, to those loving me and those keeping my commandments. So that's the very, very first commandment, is that we don't put anything before Yahweh. Do we worship Yahweh, or are you worshiping the mammon of commercial Babylon? And you might say, oh no, I'm worshiping Yahweh, but if only 20 minutes, half an hour a day is going to Yahweh, and 10 hours or 12 hours is going to working in commercial Babylon somewhere in the world, not necessarily just America, but anywhere, right? If your dedication, your loyalty, you know, is going there, then who are you worshiping? Who are you really worshiping? Satan wanted full worship from one's life. Your work, your goals, your desires, your education, right? Are you educated in Satan's world of education? Most of it is. Your leisure. What are you doing in your leisure time? TV, movies, books. You know, what are the things you're watching? Even religious worship, as we know, can be false. Not Torah-based. Using wrong names. Pagan practices. Many, instead of using psalms for praise, make their own music, right? And like I said, it's not necessarily wrong to write songs, you know, that are inspired. But primarily, I'd say 80% of the music we should be singing in the congregation should come from the psalms. And we have them. We have the book. It's on the website. You can download it. And is that important to you, that Yahweh gave those? It might say a Psalm of David, but David didn't write those. Yahweh wrote it through inspiration of his Holy Spirit. David just penned it. Penned it. So, are you singing the praise that Yahweh said, this is how you praise me? Because it's the same way in the world, right? Yahweh says, call me Yahweh. That is my name. Worship me by this name. And people say, oh, I can use G-O-D. He understands. It's the same way with worship. He gave us. He gave us 150 psalms. 150. Not one or two or five or ten. Not even 100, but 150. And again, you could write your own music to it or whatever, but the words that are there, these are the words that he said, this is worship me through these. So are we using that, or we make it our own? And I've been in some even Sabbath-keeping congregations that the music, contemporary music, is evil. It's the beats and the music they're playing is absolutely evil. And we have an article online from a man that was in Africa. He was an African man who came from actually demon worship in Africa, you know, paganism and demon worship. And he came to America and all of a sudden he joined the church or whatever. And as he joined the church and they're playing the music, he stops them in the middle and says, these are the beats that we were playing to call demons. And you're using the same beats in your congregation. So again, it's all part of our conditioning from birth, but we've not been conditioned by Yahweh. We've been conditioned by Satan. It's his society. And we got to come out of it. You got to come out of all of it. When you become a believer, yes, you start off with going from Sunday to Saturday. You start off with going from eating pork to eating beef. You start off that way, right? You start off and stop celebrating pagan things like Christmas and celebrating Yahweh's feast days. But you can't stop there. You have to keep going and looking at everything in your life. And worship is a big one. Because worship is a gateway. Worship is a gateway to Yahweh in relationship with him in the kingdom. And it is important. Corinthians 14 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. He says, therefore I say to you, my brethren, when you come together, whoever among you has a psalm to sing, has a teaching, has a language, has a revelation, has an inspiration, let all things be for building up, right? So you don't come, like I said, you don't come before Yahweh empty. Sometimes that can be a monetary gift, like we take an offering up on the holy days. But It also can be like he's saying here. You come with a psalm, you come with a teaching, you come with a language of revelation, interpretation, a word of encouragement, whatever it could be, you know, but you come with something. We don't come before Yahweh and his people empty. We're commanded to come together to worship and to praise Yahweh. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. One through five. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to Yahweh all the land. Worship Yahweh with gladness. Come before his face with joyful singing. Know that Yahweh, he is Elohim. He has made us and not ourselves. His people and the sheep of his pasture, right? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? The sheep are the ones that stay together with other sheep. The sheep are the ones that needs their shepherd. The goats are the ones that are always going out on their own by the fences trying to get away. His people and the sheep of his pasture enter into his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise, like the song goes. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For Yahweh is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness to generation and generation. Hallelujah. Wow. So, do we come to services with this attitude? Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 1 through 5, and then I'll drop down to verse 12. Hallelujah, right? Give thanks to Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Who can express the mighty works of Yahweh or cause all his praise to be heard? Blessed are those keeping judgment. He who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, Yahweh, with the favor of your people. Oh, visit me with your Yeshua, to see the good of your chosen, to rejoice in the joy of your nation, to glory with your inheritance, right? Do we glory, do we praise Yahweh for the redeeming of the sons of Israel in these last times, for revealing us that here with us we thought we were pagans, we thought we were orphans, we thought we were Gentiles, and we find out, no, we're Israelites, and Yahweh is calling us back to him in the covenant. Drop down to verse 12. Then they believed his words, they sang his praise, right? That you can't help but sing and praise Yahweh when you believe. They believed his words and they sang his praise. Verse 47 and 48. Save us, O Yahweh, or Elohim, and gather us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name, to exalt in your praise. How can you give praise and worship to Yahweh without using his name? It's impossible, and that's why he says, do not pray to any other Elohim but Yahweh. That's what it says. You can't pray to these other names. Blessed is Yahweh Elohim of Israel from everlasting even to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen, Hallelujah, praise Yah, Hallelujah, praise Yah. Praise and worship is a way of life. It's not just something we do for a few minutes to start a service, but it is a way of life. It comes automatically to those living it and bearing fruit for the kingdom. Shouldn't be something worked up, you know, like you see in some of these Pentecostal churches and stuff. It's not something to work up. It's something that is automatically from your heart. It just overflows out of you if Yahweh is your shepherd and you have thanksgiving and praise for him. Praise and worship is a way of life. Like I said, it should come automatically to those living it and bearing fruit for the kingdom. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. A psalm of praise of who again? King David. I will exalt you, my Elohim, O King, and bless your name, Yahweh, forever and ever. I will bless you every day, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Yahweh is great and to be greatly praised, and to his greatness there is no finding out. Generation to generation shall praise your works and shall declare your mighty acts. I will muse on the glorious honor of your majesty and the things of your wonderful works. And they shall speak of the might of your awesome works, and I will declare your greatness. They shall express the memory of your great goodness, and they shall sing of your righteousness. Yahweh is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great mercy. Yahweh is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall thank you, O Yahweh, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your might, to make your might known to the sons of men, yea, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom to all eternities, and your rule in all generations. Yahweh upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who hope on you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Yahweh is near to all who call on him and all those who call on his truth. And like the old saying goes, you know, if you don't feel Yahweh's presence in your life, who moved? Who moved? Look what it says here. That he is close, he's near to all those who call on him and all those who call on him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of the ones who fear him, and he will hear their cry and save them. Yahweh watches over all who love him, but he destroys all the wicked. My mouth shall speak the praise of Yahweh, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Hallelujah. Wow, what a great psalm, right? A psalm of David, how our whole life was saved by Yahweh. And our whole life should be a life of praise. That should be our whole life. Because if not, where would our life be without him? He saved us from a life of misery, a life of destruction, a life of emptiness, right? And that should be our whole life, should be praising him and glorifying him every day of our life. Psalm 150. Hallelujah! Praise Yah! Praise El in his holy place. Praise him in the expanse of his might. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him on the sounding cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise Yah. Hallelujah. So again, like I said, it's not necessarily praise and worship, right? If you have a good voice or you can play an instrument, but it certainly helps. Like he says, there's nothing against it. It's something really good. And it is beautiful. And I could say in our congregation, particularly, you know, when we go to Sukkot and at the school, with having the Thai brethren with us, we have had some of the most beautiful praise and worship I can ever remember in my life in 40 years as a believer. I mean, it is so beautiful. And it's not just because the people there have the gift of singing and musical instruments. It's because you see it from the heart. And what I believe is when you have that gift, like the Thais have, they bring the other people into it. So there's a lot of other people that were there at the school and there at the feast that also have the gift. They can play violin, they could play guitar. And I believe they would all say the same thing, even though they are talented at that, that being with the Thais that have that special gift, it makes their talent greater. It brings out their praise and worship more because of seeing how the other people are doing it. And then we're all doing it together. And collectively, we're you know, raising the roof of heaven and praising Yahweh. And it's beautiful. It's so beautiful to see it. And to me, you know, as I hear this, I think to myself, you know, I know it's not easy sometimes getting to the feast. It's expensive, whether it was in Jerusalem or now in the wilderness. But boy, I would spend every last penny I have. And I did in the early years, me and Petra. We used to find money in the street and save every penny and dollar just until we had enough money to get to Israel for the feast. You know? And I would do it now. I would give anything just to be there just for that praise and worship. That's worth it. You know, you go through a year in Satan society, and what you're hearing almost every day of your life in Satan society is evil and wickedness and against government and New World Order stuff and all this evil stuff. And to be there with Yahweh's people out in Selah, in the very place that Yahweh says he's going to train the people, and to be there and to hear, you know, the Thais, several times, they brought their instruments down to the mountain and playing there and hearing it resound around the mountains was so beautiful, you know. And again, to me, it's that pearl of great price. I'd give anything, absolutely anything, because of how wonderful it is and what it does to your spirit and what it does to your soul. I mean, it literally, like I said, for me, it's been like this for years. The feast will bring me 6 months, sometimes up to a whole year, you know, like almost, where you get down during the years and you go through struggles and you go through things, but you come there and you get your tank filled. You know, it's like having your tank on empty, like a gas tank, and filling it up, and it really does last. So I just wanted to mention that. I didn't even have it in my notes, but it's seeing that gift of praise and worship, and not only the tithes, but like I said, a lot of the other brethren too, and even the youth, seeing all our youth there and how beautiful it is that they have that gift, is just, it's a wonderful thing from Yahweh. So every breath should be to praise Yahweh for his greatness in our life. And the last scripture here is Psalm 149. Psalm 149, I'll read all 9 verses here. Again, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yah. Sing to Yahweh a new song. His praise is in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in his creators. It's plural, yes, Yeshua and Yahweh. Let the sons of Zion be joyful in their kings. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with the timbrel and lyre. That's why we do the Hebrew dance. And we have ladies who are doing it for years who know how to teach it. And we follow these scriptures because we're praising Yahweh. And the dance, again, it's not for show. It's not there to, you know, like some kind of entertainment. It's there for these ladies through the gift they have of the Hebrew dance to bring the rest of us into a place of worship we couldn't be if we didn't have that. And the men do also. The men also do the Hebrew dance. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with the timbrel and the lyre. Remember, even King David danced with all his might when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. And that's the wonderful part of it, right? We are obedient to him all year. And when we come together at feast time, we're coming for his blessing. And when you're there, you get a blessing. You're allowed to ask for something at Sukkot. You know, he says ask for anything. But things you don't even ask for. That you come there and you get the blessing of Yahweh. And for some brethren that are scattered, that have no congregations, you know. And what can you do if Yahweh hasn't brought other people there? It's not your fault. But it's even more important to try to come to Sukkot. Because there's a blessing there when we come together as a people that you miss if you don't come. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble in Yeshua. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the exultation of El be in their throat and a two-edged sword in their hand. To execute vengeance on the nations, punishments on the people. It's coming. To bind their kings in chains and their nobles with iron bands. To execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all his saints. Hallelujah. So for the people of the world that are being disobedient, you know, there's not a good future there. But for the people of Yahweh, that he's called out, the called and the chosen, and now we need to be faithful. Wow, what a blessing that he allows us to come to his throne in heaven. All you have to do is close your eyes, get on your hands and knees, lift your hands and pray to him, and you can come to his throne in heaven, and you could bless him and bless the name of Yahweh and bless the name of Yeshua and praise him every single day of your life and have that praise go into worship. And what a gift it is. What a wonderful, wonderful gift it is. Everything we do, every breath we take, every word we speak should be to the glory and the praise of Yahweh. We no longer sacrifice animals. We sacrifice our life, like Romans 12 says. We need to be living sacrifices. We sacrifice our life for the life that Yeshua sacrificed for us. So I pray that this message has helped you to understand more the sacrifice in praise of worship. Shabbat shalom. Yahweh bless.